Conservative? You bet. Controversial? Right again. It's time to squabble on the Jim Benson Show.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Jim Benson Show. Conservative news and commentary addressing the issues that concern you here on the BBS radio and television network. On today's program, we're going to focus on what is being described as the most consequential U.S. Supreme Court decision of this century. And that is, at least so far, and that is the recent ruling on racial gerrymandering of congressional districts. I believe this ruling should also apply to other legislative district selections around the country, but we'll have to see how all this plays out. The U.S. Democratic Party has used the Voting Rights Act of 1964 to justify racially gerrymandering numerous congressional districts around the country to get and hold political power. The Democratic Party has become the primary communist party in America, the party of hatred, the party that often serves the interests of communist China and its proxies, including the current Iranian mullahs regime. Hence the mainstream media, which is dominated by the political left and serves as a mouthpiece for the Democratic Party and other communist parties. And the proxy, the main proxy of China is Iran. So it's not surprising to see the media and the Democrats rooting for China and Iran over the U.S. in the current war with Iran. A provision of the Voting Rights Act says you cannot discriminate against voters on the basis of race. So what have the Democrats been doing for decades now? Discriminating against voters on the basis of race by cobbling together congressional districts along strict racial lines. What the Supreme Court's new ruling says is they can't do this any longer. It appears there may also be racially gerrymandered congressional districts benefiting Republicans, but clearly the majority of this gerrymandering has benefited Democrats. The tactic has been employed by Democrats and their allies for decades now, along with other means, to rig and steal elections in the here in the U.S. and around the world. And these other means include use of electronic voting machine software and hardware that has allowed communists and allied groups in Venezuela, where this software and hardware, the software was developed, and these allied groups in Venezuela and other places have been allowed to remotely manipulate and change voting data, electronic voting data. In other words, to flip votes for desired candidates. In the country of Venezuela, where this equipment was first developed, as I said, in the U.S. and in some 70 other countries around the world. But more on this later in our program. So starting off with our video presentation today, I'll be playing the first half of or so of a recent Brian Maxwell's Real Politics podcast on YouTube, discussing this tectonic ruling by the Supreme Court and how it may, and I emphasize the word may, since I'll believe all this when I see it, affect the all-important congressional midterm elections later this year. The Democrats have been working furiously to use these elections to retake control of Congress. And I expect them to fight this ruling with everything they have. But if they are successful in retaking Congress, they've made it clear their intention is to impeach and remove Donald Trump from office, crush the Make America Great Again, or MAGA, movement, and push the country back towards the Marxist revolution begun under the appallingly corrupt communist bootlick Joe Biden.
All right, folks, in a bombshell ruling, the justices, during an emergency hearing, voted 8-1 to allow the states to redistrict their maps prior to the primaries going into the midterms. And that was huge because even though they just passed, they had the ruling saying that it was unconstitutional to racially gerrymander your districts, there was still an issue of whether there will be enough time in order to get that done prior to the midterm. That was a huge issue because if not, that means that the elections would have taken place using these unconstitutional maps and would have set it up where we'd have had 2 years of having people represented and put in office based on unconstitutional maps. And that just doesn't make sense. And that's what a whole lot of leftists were banking on and hoping for, especially one specifically in the Supreme Court. Like you heard me say, the ruling was 8-1, and there was only one dissenting justice, and that was Ketanji Brown Jackson. And we know typically if the leftists are going to object, it's usually all three. But when you see that there's 8-1, that's because legally, there was no leg to stand on for them to go any other way. And what Justice Jackson has done, she had been kind of showing it a little bit. She has fully exposed herself as being a radical partisan justice who was playing a political game and has her own agenda that just was upended by what happened with the Supreme Court. And let me let you know something. You may not realize this, but you're going to look back in the history books and realize this ruling on not being allowed to racially gerrymander districts will go down as one of the most consequential rulings, I believe, ever in the history of this country. Because what it did, let me show you what it did. And we're going to get back to this, because in this video, I'm going to show you the slapdown that Justice Alito gave to Justice Jackson, and rightfully so. But you're also going to hear, because it doesn't matter whether you live in a blue state, a red state, what city and state you live in. This impacts you, because without this ruling that just came down, this 8-1, which allows for the maps to be redrawn prior to the midterms, without that emergency hearing, there would have been people that would have been getting elected in your area that may or may not be what's best for the people in your district. Why? Because we would have been using the unconstitutional race-based gerrymandering maps that the Supreme Court already said are not agreeing to go. So by them with this emergency ruling in the Louisiana versus Calais case, just opened the door for southern states, for red states to get to work. Because a lot of them were saying, well, even though we got the ruling, there's nothing we can do with our maps till 2028. Not anymore. The Supreme Court has made it the law of the land, which means that the Department of Justice now can review every minority majority district. And if it is found to be structured based on race, they have to redraw it. It's the law of the land now. And ain't it funny that the same party that proclaims that they're for the people and they're so anti-racism was the same party that is pissed off that they can't use race to base their maps? What's the irony in that? The same party that says they're all for the people and they love black and brown were the same ones that were paying the KKK and white nationalist groups to commit hate crimes on people of color just so they could sell it to them like, hey, you need to keep electing us because we're protecting you from the violence that they are paying to have perpetuated on the people. It is insane. But this emergency 8-1 ruling, and remember now, this is different than the 6-3 ruling, which ruled that the gerrymandering maps were unconstitutional. This 8-1 ruling that just came down was in an emergency hearing about whether or not the maps can be redrawn prior to the primaries for the midterm. And several states had already started early voting. And guess what? So what? The maps are unconstitutional, and without taking immediate action, there would have been 2 more years that we would have had to wait. Now, I'm going to show you just how jacked up it was, because a lot of people, they hear what's going on, but they don't fully know what happened. This here is the district on the map in Louisiana that they tried to get through. Look at this district going from Shreveport all the way to Baton Rouge and all the way over to Lafayette. And if you've never been to Louisiana, I did a lot of business in Louisiana. I used to call it my second home. That is outrageous. That's insane. Look at that. What type of flip-flopping and acrobats and skullduggery you got to do to think that was going to fly? That's what set this whole thing off. And then let me show you Illinois. I could go through every single blue state and you'd say, oh my goodness, this is Illinois. Look at that. Look at how insane that looks. And they really want people to accept that. Look at what type of magic they have to do to make sure that they kept their districts with people as less informed and as uneducated as possible, so that these people that want to put men in women's boards and men in women's bathrooms and body mutilation surgery for everybody. That's how these people kept getting elected. When you say, man, how did that lunatic become a member of the House? Well, with districts like that, that's how it happens. But those are a thing of the past. Now, I want to show you something real quick before we get into the next clip, because there are several states that even though they've already started the early voting, you're going to hear how Alabama and Tennessee is already jumping on it. And we already know what Florida is doing, but Check this out right here. This right here is from Ballotpedia. Majority minority districts. This tells us how many districts are affected by this ruling. And you see right here, after the 2020 census, there are 148 U.S. House majority minority districts. That's 148 seats, roughly almost a little bit over a third of congressional seats that are impacted by this decision. And remember now, the DOJ can review these districts and decide if that was put together a gerrymander based off race. They got to go back to the literally go back to the drawing board and redo it. This represented approximately 34% of the nation's 435 House districts. That's how big this decision is. And people just think like, oh, and what they're doing, they're lying to people. They're lying to black folks. They're, oh, your vote is taken away. No, it is not. Everybody still has the same voting rights. Matter of fact, that's our constitutional right as American citizens. But what it did do, it no longer allows them to say, well, we're going to take this black neighborhood and we're going to cut it into two. So now we got two districts there. Where, what about your white voters? What about your Asian voters? What about the Native Americans and the Hawaiians? They didn't have any representation because they were basing these things solely off black. And then here's what happens. When you have low IQ, uneducated people making voting decisions solely based off skin tone, because they haven't learned that all skin folk ain't kin folk, that's how you get deranged people like a Jasmine Crotchett in there or Ayanna Pressley, who when you listen to these folks and you say, with views like this, how in the world did this person get into Congress? Well, that's how. So I want you to listen to what Alabama and Tennessee is doing. And then after that, I want you to hear the smackdown that Justice Alito gave to the activist Ketanji Brown Jackson. And as a matter of fact, while you're watching this or you're listening to this, if you're enjoying this video, do me a solid and hit that like button. I'll never ask you for a cash app, a super chat, or for a donation. But you hitting that like button, it helps a great deal. It tells YouTube to push this video out for other people to see it. And if you aren't subscribed to the channel already, please subscribe. And if this is your first time here and you want to wait before you hit that like button, by all means, do your thing. And if you really, really like the video, after you hit like, you can swipe to the left and there's a hype button that gives points. And that's huge if you're enjoying it. Now, let's check out this video here that breaks down how this emergency ruling is already impacting red states and blue states too, but Alabama and Tennessee specifically. Check this out.
First of all, I applaud the Supreme Court for the decision they made. They made the right decision. Race should never be considered in drawing congressional districts. And I'm glad that Tennessee and Alabama are redrawing their districts. And I think that Georgia should do the same thing. Yes, we have started early voting. And yes, it would be inconvenient. But at the same time, it's never too late to do the right thing. And the right thing is for the governor and for the legislature to call a special session to redistrict so that Georgians will be represented by people who represent their values. We shouldn't have to suffer through the next 2 years just because it's inconvenient to do it now. We need to suspend the House races and we need to go ahead and redistrict so that the Georgians would be represented in the next 2 years by people who represent their values.
Yeah, if you could just even take a moment and kind of, you know, walk our audience through how might redistricting really impact the balance of power between Democrats and Republicans in the state of Georgia.
Well, I could. We could potentially pick up 2 to 3 seats in the state of Georgia. And that's important because that could impact the national majority. It actually could be the difference between us going back as Republicans in the majority in the House and going back as in the minority.
Boom. So as you see, all four, and that's 3 seats picked up in Georgia just off this alone. And remember how we got here. We got here because Texas had to redistrict. They got the highest amount of migration from northern states out of anybody else in the union, with Florida being a very close second. And that's people in the millions. So when you have that many people coming down, and remember now, they were also ground zero for the flood of illegal immigrants that came in through the country. And guess what the census did? The census was counting illegal immigrants like they were U.S. citizens. So there are about 30 to 40 House seats that were only created because these sanctuary cities and sanctuary states were flooded with illegal immigrants. They're counting them in their population. And the bigger the population, the more House seats you're eligible for. So you see how this whole thing with them opening up the border had been a play for power the entire time to use those bodies during the census, because started in 2020 when they were taking the census. And they have been doing it quietly through California and Texas before that. but then they just opened the floodgates up in 2020, and we saw what happened.
Continuing with our discussions of the new SCOTUS ruling, that is Supreme Court of the U.S., here's a recent podcast show from Dr. Steve Turley on YouTube with his take on the ruling. You'll see and hear Turley talking about some of the same things pointed out by Brian Maxwell. Due to time constraints, I didn't play Maxwell's commentary, including all of his commentary, including the High Court's rebuke of Biden-nominated Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson, who reportedly virulently disagreed with the court's ruling. Turley gives a synopsis of this rebuke.
The Supreme Court just made history. Well, at least eight of them did. The infamous AutoPen appointee found herself once again on the wrong side of history. And once again, her fellow justices reminded her of just how radical and ridiculous this pathetic excuse for a jurist really is. But this latest ruling goes way beyond the latest judicial smackdown, because we're about to see how it doesn't just redraw the congressional map for one state. It's in fact triggering a redistricting earthquake that will eventually shake all 50 states and change our nation like never before. You are not going to want to miss this. Hey gang, it's me, Dr. Steve, your patron professor, back in the studio after a wonderful week in Budapest, Hungary. I spoke at a Central European Classical School conference there, where I got to see some amazing students at one of their classical Christian schools, as well as the absolutely amazing sights around what is, without a doubt, one of the most beautiful cities on the face of the earth. If you ever get a chance to visit Budapest, you have got to do it. You will absolutely love it. But of course, there's no place like home, so it's wonderful to be back with all of you. And what did I tell you when I was there, right? My first video from Budapest. What did I tell you? There's always huge breaking news whenever I leave the country, and this time was no exception. We, of course, had the landmark Calais ruling that struck down once and for all the decades-long Democrat practice of redrawing congressional districts by deliberately discriminating against white voters. They use as an excuse, I'm talking about liberals here, they use as an excuse called vote dilution, that claimed that if too many whites were in a district, then minority voters, particularly black voters, could never get their own candidates to win. It weaponized race so as to guarantee dozens of Democrat seats throughout the country. But the state of Louisiana was taken to court for their latest race-based redistricting, and the court, in a 6-3 decision, officially struck that new district down. The conservative majority fundamentally rewrote the rules on how any state uses race in drawing congressional lines. Obviously, leftist lunatics across the country have been having a temper tantrum over this. They're realizing that their racist jig is up, that their era of being able to bully red states into gerrymandering districts for the express purpose of guaranteeing Democrat seats is over. But I don't think that the reality of what just happened has fully hit them yet. But before I show you why the Calais decision has forever changed the country, we got to talk about what just happened literally hours ago. So last night, May 4th, the court issued a follow-up order. The Calais appellees, so that's the Louisiana residents who challenged the unconstitutional map, they asked the court to waive the normal 32-day waiting period before the ruling gets transmitted to the lower court. So normally there's a month-long window after the Supreme Court makes their ruling before the ruling goes into effect. The plaintiffs in this case wanted that 32-day waiting period waived because Louisiana's May 16th congressional primary had already been suspended by Governor Jeff Landry in order to allow the legislature to redraw the new map. So they wanted this ruling enforced in time for the midterms, obviously. Because if it's not, then two unconstitutional districts would continue to exercise influence in Congress. So the court granted the request. They waived the 32-day interim period. Again, obviously, right? Why wouldn't they? It's a ruling that, by the nature of the timeline of our elections, would require it to be enforced immediately. Pretty straightforward, you would think. Not according to Ketanji Brown Jackson. Nope. Justice Autopen, in a solo dissent, joined by literally nobody on the court, not even Kagan or Sotomayor, Justice Autopen erupted. She wrote that the court's order has spawned chaos in the state of Louisiana, and she accused the conservative majority of abandoning principle for power. She actually accused the six conservatives of trying to interfere in the midterms by not allowing for the normal 32-day waiting period, even though the other two liberal justices agreed to suspend that very waiting period. And of course they did. The decision just rendered Louisiana's racially gerrymandered districts unconstitutional. So, of course, they can't enter the midterms with those two unconstitutional districts in place. But according to Justice Autopen, that's exactly what Louisiana should do. And if you interfere with those two now unconstitutional districts, you're being partisan. You are interfering in an election, and that is blatantly politically motivated. And after that obvious temper tantrum from Justice Autopen, Justice Alito just, he heard enough, and he was done with it. He was joined by Clarence Thomas, Neil Gorsuch, and Alito penned a concurrence that addressed Jackson's charges and said blatantly, quote, they cannot go unanswered. He said one of her points was trivial at best, and the other was blatantly baseless and insulting to the court. Now, keep in mind, this is a published permanent legal opinion, right? And that published permanent legal opinion just referred to a fellow Supreme Court justice's charge as basic nonsense. It was baseless, it was insulting, and it was utter nonsense. Alito went on to say that Jackson's accusation that the court abandoned principle for power was a groundless and utterly irresponsible and frankly reprehensible charge. And he pointed out, how was her demand that these districts now rendered unconstitutional, how was her demand to allow them to continue into the midterms any less a partisan play than what she was accusing the conservatives of doing? At least the conservatives actually have a majority ruling behind their decision to waive the month-long delay. What possible reasoning does Justice Autopen have except for a last-ditch effort to try to keep the districts alive for two more years? I mean, it's utterly absurd. And here's what made this even more damaging for Jackson. Legal observers have been noticing a pattern of late. It's been going on for about a year now. When Jackson writes dissents, Sotomayor and Kagan frequently go their own way rather than sign on. Because as one commentator bluntly put it, Justice Autopen's opinions usually don't make much sense. The senior liberal justices, whatever you think of them and their politics, at least they understand that incoherent legal reasoning weakens their cause. And they've been quietly distancing themselves from Justice Autopen. But let's pull back from the smackdown, as entertaining as it is, and get into what this ruling actually means, because the Calais majority opinion is one of the most consequential Supreme Court decisions in American history. Wait until you see this. It's just published a rather astonishing piece on the political earthquake that the Calais decision just rocked the Democrats with. And it's astonishing because it's basically an admission. I kid you not, it admits that the Democrats are not going to survive this. The Calais decision will go down in history as that fixed point in time when the Democrats ceased to be a viable political party in the nation. That's exactly what the American spectators concluded as well. I told you last week from Budapest that I knew the Calais decision was going to be bad for the Democrats. I knew it was going to sting, certainly for the midterms. I knew it was going to cost them seats. But what I did not fully envision, what I generally did not see coming at this magnitude, is just how existentially catastrophic this ruling is going to turn out to be for the future of the Democrat Party as a viable national institution. Because we're not just talking about a setback. We're not just talking about a tough cycle. I mean, we're talking about literally a structural demolition of the electoral architecture Democrats have been building brick by racial brick for over 40 years. I hope you're sitting down for this, because this, I'm going to give you some numbers that are going to blow your brain. You ready for this? Ballotpedia, using data straight from the U.S. Census Bureau's 2024 American Community Survey, has identified, again, I kid you not, they have identified 148 House districts that were drawn with race as the predominant factor under the old Section 2 standard. That's a full one-third of the entire House of Representatives, 148 districts. Of those 148, 122, as I'm sure you presumed, are currently held by Democrats. 122. Gang, that is more than half of the Democrats' entire 212-seat caucus sitting on maps that Calais just declared legally suspect. More than half. Now think about that for a moment. The Democrat Party didn't just build its House coalition on policy. Obviously not. It built it on racially engineered geography. And the Supreme Court has just decimated that foundation. But it gets worse, because this is all before the 2030 census. And do you understand what the 2030 census is all about? The 2030 census is a full decennial census year. That means every single congressional district in the country gets redrawn from scratch, all 435 districts. And every state legislature that draws those maps will be doing so under a Supreme Court precedent that says you cannot use race as the predominant factor. You cannot pack black voters into a district simply because they are black. You cannot create a majority-minority district because a federal court told you you could back in 1992. You now have to draw colorblind maps. And if you don't, it'll be shot down in court, guaranteed. What we are looking at, gang, is the single biggest seismic shift in American electoral politics in living memory, possibly ever. The left built a House majority largely on the backs of the Voting Rights Act, weaponized as a racial gerrymandering mandate. They turned Section 2 into a permanent reservation system for Democrat incumbents, and it is now all completely collapsed. It's all in the process of a total and permanent implosion. The Democrat Party is indeed on the brink. It may in fact be consigned to the ash heap of history in a matter of mere months. We're not talking merely a tough midterm. We're not talking a down cycle. We're talking about a generational exile from structural power, forced for the first time in decades to actually compete for votes they used to simply manufacture with a Sharpie and a racial headcount. Calais plus a clean 2030 census is not a political setback. It is checkmate. And the Democrats may have lost permanently.
Moving on with our discussions of our rigged and stolen elections, here's a replay of a video segment we carried a few months ago from the Stephen Gardner Show, also on YouTube, in which Gardner interviews former CIA agent Gary Burtson regarding the use of this corrupted electronic voting equipment developed by Venezuela to steal elections in that country, the U.S., and around the world. You won't see it here, but on a past show, we played another video clip of Gary Burtson stating that Venezuela's National Election Commission had some 100 people working on using this software and hardware to flip votes for communist-desired candidates, including Joe Biden, in more than 70 countries. I haven't seen anything said publicly about this, but don't you think shutting down the Venezuelan vote manipulation and election stealing operation was a priority of the Trump administration in taking down the Maduro regime in Venezuela? Let's just hope that this act was actually done and this operation won't pop up and continue elsewhere. Burnson, along with his team, including election integrity activist Patrick Byrd, are mentioned prominently in Ralph Pezzullo, that's P-E-Z-Z-U-L-L-O, Ralph Pezzullo's new book, Stolen Elections, The Takedown of Democracies Worldwide, which is available on Amazon.com. You'll hear Burnson mention that he was threatened with legal action by, I believe it was, both the voting hardware and software companies Smartmatic and Dominion. Dominion has been sold, and with the same hardware and software, as I understand it, is now called Liberty Vote or something similar. If you'll recall, Dominion and Smartmatic, I think, sued various media and Trump supporters over allegations their equipment was being used for this purpose. Fox News was one of them and was settled with Dominion for over $750 million. It's my understanding the biggest shareholders of Fox Corporation are BlackRock and Vanguard. Do you suppose it's possible these longtime supporters of communistic thought and politicians actually wanted this election stealing operation to continue? Now, we'll probably never know. I believe it's been reported that it was Dominion's Belgrade, Serbia headquarters that had servers being used for these election vote rigging. These servers were reportedly disabled for several days before and during the U.S. 2024 presidential election by a top-secret U.S. cyber team dispatched to Belgrade for that purpose, which, from my understanding, enabled Trump to be elected. Otherwise, we'd have Kamala Harris and the New World Order communist dictatorship in charge of America today. That's what I think, anyway. These servers were reportedly, as I said, were reportedly disabled for several days before and during the U.S. presidential election, which prevented much of this vote manipulation. From my perspective, again, this is the story of the century so far, if it's all true. I'd sure like to see a congressional investigation into all this. Anyway, here's the clip.
You're about to have your mind blown. Well, the media would have you believe that President Trump is pushing for war with Venezuela or a regime change. I believe it could be something other than that. To help me go through all this, I have Gary Burnson. Gary, thank you so much for joining me today.
Pleasure to be with you, sir.
So a little background for my audience. Gary is a distinguished American securities expert, a retired 23-year CIA veteran.
So the point was the FBI, Homeland Security, and the CIA during the Biden administration did no collection on this stuff. They were in stand-down mode. They were not collecting against Venezuela or the Cartel del Sol. And there's a reason for it. The reason is they were colluding with that administration and with that cartel because they knew they could deliver elections to them. Make no mistake what this was about.
Wow.
Make no mistake.
Yeah.
All right, look, I led the entry into Afghanistan. I was in charge of the East Africa bombings. I was the chief of Hezbollah operations in CIA for several years. So I had responsibility for the Khobar Towers bombings and the bombings in Argentina also, okay? Wasn't my first rodeo. Didn't fall off an onion truck on the way to this thing, okay? I've been doing this thing for a long time. I'm 68 years old. I've been 40 years in the business. Don't need to make up stuff, all right? These were wicked people. These people were stealing elections, and our political apparatus, Democratic Party knew, Republicans, some Republicans knew too. And so, you know, you have to look around. You know, everyone else was sued, okay? Everybody else was sued but me. We came out and told them, we have your source code. We have witnesses. I got a letter from Dominion, right? Fox paid them $768.5 million. They sent me a letter to stand down. I wouldn't stand down. Forget that. I want to see them in discovery. They didn't want to meet with me in discovery. They didn't want to interview me. They didn't want to meet me and my witnesses, the witnesses that Martine and I and Patrick were involved with recruiting and bringing in. They're afraid. They should have been afraid. They sold the company a week ago, right? They're running. That's Dominion. Smartmatic, the other part of this, that has the same source code, has the same lineage. They're together. Those guys, their president's indicted. He's she's got a superseding indictment down in Miami for a case of corruption having to do with the elections in the Philippines. Look, they use these machines first in Venezuela, then Latin America, then the United States, and they stole elections in over 70 countries around the world using this code. There has been an all-out assault on global democracy, moving the world to the left. And it was the Venezuelans. It was the Soros people were helping them and meeting with them. It was the Cubans and the Venezuelans. And the Democratic Party in the United States understood. Leaders understood what was up.
Lastly today, I wanted to play the first few minutes of Alex Jones' new operation, Alex Jones Live, which is the new name and operation after a long-standing bankruptcy action, finally closing down Jones' Infowars.com website and its The Alex Jones Shows. Alex Jones and other commentators, such as Tucker Carlson, have broken ranks with President Trump over his administration's war with Iran. I disagree with these very popular commentators over the Iranian situation and fully support the Trump administration's actions against Iran, as I've stated several times on prior editions of this show. Nevertheless, I have long found much of Alex Jones and Carlson's commentaries to be of great value in helping me better understand current events. Tucker Carlson's interview with Vladimir Putin being one such outstanding contribution to that understanding. While the political left has been desperately trying to destroy Alex Jones, I still find his programs and commentary of considerable value and want to show you where you can find Jones continuing on with his shows, which are also carried on Rumble.com, X.com, and elsewhere, and through the Alex Jones Network and AlexJonesLive.com. So here's a few minutes from the debut of Jones' new setup.
International Satanic High Holiday, celebrated by pagans for tens of thousands of years. It's May 1st, 2026, and the Democrat-controlled court that ran the show trial in Texas had the receiver start turning off the internet and told us to get out of the building. We went and got an injunction filed at the Third Court of Appeals. They agreed with us. But still, it's basically a stalemate. I'm not going to violate the orders of the receiver from the court. They, of course, had their own court hearing with all the corporate media there and declared that I was sabotaging things and that I was doing these terrible things. It's just all complete bullcrap. It's what they do. Remember a year and a half ago, oh, we own it, we got it. And Stephanopoulos says, well, the judge put it on hold and said you didn't have the highest bid. Oh, we got it. And then you heard for 2 weeks they were in the building, they ran it, they owned it, they had the website. No, they didn't. No court hearing, no certification. But they knew that the judge, it's obviously in their hip pocket, was going to hand it over to them at the hearing yesterday. So we went and got an injunction. And I guessed over a month ago, seeing the planets align, they were planning a shutdown April 30th, May 1st, and we nailed it. We were right. And so... the original InfoWars base, I mean, where I've been for 17 years, and InfoWars around before that, but that particular fabled office, so much history happened, so much tyranny was crushed in, so many incredible interviews and exposés were broken in and exposing the COVID tyranny, the inside jobs of 9/11, Trump's first big interview when nobody would interview him by myself. I mean, it's just legendary, and it lives on. It only gets bigger. The InfoWar belongs to all of you. There's Drudge right there. Defiant Alex Jones makes vow in final InfoWars broadcast. Real war begins now. And here we are on the Alex Jones Network in this little broadcast studio. We've got the big podcast studio. We have much bigger studios that are being built right now that'll be even better than the original studios. And again, I don't own the Alex Jones Network. I am the news director. And so they can piss up a rope. They've said their goal is to take me off air. They don't want money. Then they run around screaming, I won't give them money, and I have all these hundreds of millions of dollars, even though they had the federal court for 3 years do four outside audits at a cost of $3 million of the estate. They got $10 million out of the estate total, and the Sandy Hook families, the Democrat Party front groups, but they call it the families, but it's huge charity groups that raised $300 million off my name on record, playing victim. They never want any of the money out of the court. They always say they want it for more PIs, more investigations, more audits, IRS audits, all of it. IRS said, oh my gosh, you overpaid taxes $4.3 million the last 5 years. And then that went to them. And they say they haven't got a nickel. Lying, 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 lying. And every audit found that we are as straight as an arrow because we are, unlike them.
That's all for our show today. As always, we hope you found today's content of interest and value. You can watch and or listen to a podcast of today's show when it's posted shortly here on the Jim Benson Show pages at bbsradio.com/The Jim Benson Show. And elsewhere on the internet, including x.com at James B5030-91977. Also on Rumble.com and Apple Podcasts. While you're at it, if you visit my pages here at bbsradio.com, scroll down on my index page at bbsradio.com/The Jim Benson Show and check out our related videos section. Look for us again 2 weeks from today in this same time slot with another edition of the show. And have a great rest of your day and evening.